the ruins to rebuilding, and you know, just translated into Spanish. So I'd give them out as a gift. I gave every church a $20 bill and an offering, and then I gave every pastor personally another $20. A $20 bill in Cuba, an American 20, is a month to maybe a month and a half worth of salary there. So that's, you know, and it is a socialist. It is a socialist system. Everybody gets paid the same, which is not really true. Doctors, lawyers, dentists, bakers, policemen all make between $50 and $100 a month American. I mean, doctors, dentists. There's people that make, of course, quite a bit less. And of course, if you you know, work for the government, you make quite a bit more. So it really is not a fair system. And Pastor David wanted me to make sure. He says, why in America are they talking about socialism? It doesn't work in Cuba. It doesn't work in Panama. It doesn't work in Venezuela. It does, you know, just go through this whole list of stuff. He goes, it doesn't work. It does not work. And that's Pastor David. You'll see a picture of him. That's the back of him right there, the pastor of the Open Bible Church there, in there. And so so when I was able to do that, it was a tremendous blessing for those pastors and the people there of Cuba. And so, like I said, I'll let you know. So this is the first church. So in the morning, I would visit a church, preach, teach, pastor. Then every night, except for one night, I was not preaching somewhere. So they put me to work right away. So this is the first, one of the first churches that I went to. It's a congregation of about 10 or 15 people. It was in the morning that we had gone to this church, and this is the inside of the building. And so if you want to go to the next picture, Hannah. All right, this is Pastor David, and then the pastor of that church is the one who is standing next to them. And as you can tell, if you look around the building, and you will see a few more pictures of that, everything that's broken and needs repaired, it needs painted. There's work that needs to be done to it, but, you know, like I said, we'll show that to you as well. Go ahead, Hannah. Okay, this is the church. This is outside the side of the building. This is what they've got. And their home, then, is the building connected to it towards the back there. That is their house. So what they do there, they have what they call temples. Temples are standalone churches, like we do here in the States. You know, here's the church. No parsonage is connected to it. Pastor lives somewhere else. And they call those temples. Well, they've only got about six or eight actual temples in Cuba. Everybody else's church, and there's about 100 and some churches and 100 and some pastors in Cuba, all the rest are what they call house churches. And what they do is they'll buy a home. They will take the garage. You'll see in a moment. They'll take the garage, convert the garage into the sanctuary of the church, and then the pastor and his family live on the other part of that building. So when you saw at the beginning of that, that is the garage, and now it is the church sanctuary. Again, this is that same church, and you can tell there's no windows. It's just, and honestly, almost all of the churches look like this. There's a handful that are nice ones, but they struggle. They struggle in there. And that's the house then in the yellow. Go ahead, Anna. All right, so there is Pastor David in the striped shirt. That is his wife, Rebecca, standing next to him. And then this is the pastor and his wife also in the photo there. And they are the ones that are taking care of the church and that they are pastoring this church. Go ahead. Okay, that's the front of this church. That is the front of the church. All right, there you go. Hold on to that one just a second. So here is the suitcase of all of the items that I brought from the States to Cuba. Let me give you a couple insights. And that's, of course, that's Pastor David and Rebecca are putting them in Ziploc bags. And so we would go to every church we would go to, they would hand that Ziploc bag to to the pastor. And it is true, and I think I shared that with you, and he said that. There was a family who was actually sharing the toothbrush because they only had the one. And so you ought to saw the look on their faces, just getting that little bag with some deodorant and some soap and some shampoo and some shaving cream and some razors. I mean, it was just like Christmas. I mean, they just lit up. So I go to the airport in Chicago, and she weighs my bag. She said, this weighs 87 pounds. telling me, man. This weighs 87 pounds. I said, okay, I'll just pay the difference. And she said, no, you don't understand. Cuba will not let this bag into the country. You have to take 10 to 15 pounds out of it. Well, fortunately, my bag weighed all of like 43 pounds. So I was able to get all of the stuff out of it, get it to where they would take it, and then they still soaked me $100, you know, for the weight of the bag and the size of the bag. But I cannot tell you the blessing this is. When I was there, the lady who interpreted for me, she took me to the downtown, and we went into what is called the company stores, you know, the ones that are owned by the Cuban government. And I'm telling you, there is nothing on those shelves. I mean, nothing. There, you know, it's just, they have nothing. They have dollar stores. And in the dollar stores, they have quite a bit more stuff, but it's so expensive. And so most of the Cubans can't afford to go to the dollar store to purchase what they need. In Cuba, there's two currencies. There is the Cuban peso, and that, like I said, the average salary is between 1,200 Cuban pesos, which ends up being between 50 and 100 American dollars in there. So what happens is that in the government, everybody once a month will get an allotment from the Cuban government. Okay, you'll get 5 pounds of beans, 5 pounds of rice, a quart of cooking oil, 1 dozen eggs, 2 small packs of coffee that they say do not drink it because it's mixed up with some kind of, it's not chutney, what's the other? Chicory, that's it, chicory, mixed up with chicory, and they go, this will make you sick, do not drink this. But the people that are really poor, that's their coffee. And that's all they get. And when they are out of that allotment, you're on your own until the next month comes around. And the Cuban government charges them 1 peso, you know, or 10 pesos, which is 1 American dollar, 10 pesos to buy that allotment from the Cuban government. And so that's what they do. And so they try to make ends meet. They help out each other. I asked them, I said, what's the crime like here? They just looked at me like, there is no crime here. We're all broke. And they're right. None of them have anything. Who are we going to steal from? They don't have anything either. You know, so as far as crime, unless you're in Havana where the tourism is, that's a little bit different. But even then, it's little to none. I mean, I never felt unsafe at all any time while I was in the country of Cuba. So when we were able to give them, and I, you know, again, told them this was from all of you guys here in the church, you know, we take so much for granted, you know. They would ask me, well, are the stores in America really full? Because they were told that they were not. They were told that if you see a movie from America, when you see the stores full of stuff, it's staged because it's not really there. They told the people, you have it made here. We give you food, we give you free health care, we give you this, this, and this. You have it made there. Well, obviously, people from Cuba have come to the States and have come back and said, yes, God gave America Walmart. And and so, and even now, you know, the people that have never left there, when you try to explain them, it's just so simple for us. Oh, I need something. I'll run in the store and get it. It is not like that there. Either it's not in the store when you have the money, or it's in the store and you don't have the money. We were going past a store, and there was a line of people of about 15, 20 people deep as we were going past the store, as I was looking at this, going through the square. And so the person doing the interpreting asked them, okay, what are you in line? What are you waiting for? They said, well, we can get plates today, just China. Last place. I think it was a limit of 8 to 10 plates, and they were in line waiting just to buy plates. It's the way it is. I mean, it's quite a place. All right, Hannah, if you're going to go to the next one, please. All right, and here's another picture of them unloading the suitcase. Oh, the other thing I got to tell you. So I bring this huge suitcase in. Of course, you know, when you're from America, they don't like America. Well, and I can't say this. The government doesn't like Americans. The people do, but the government doesn't, you know. So you're going to get there, and they do a thing I call pick on the gringo. And that basically is that, you know, you get a little run around with, oh, no, your suitcase don't belong here. It belongs over there. Oh, no, you go through that line over here now. And finally I said, look, I just want to, you know, I just want to get out and you know, see the pastor who's waiting for me. And so they sent me over to this one side, and this one gentleman opened up the suitcase and looked inside it. And I told him, I said, all of that is for the Open Bible pastors that I'm going to be meeting. Closed it up, put a stamp on it. Once that lady saw the stamp, she let me out and so I could see Pastor David. So he's looking at all of this stuff, and he goes, how did you get all of this in here? Just carried it in. He goes, they didn't stop you? I go, no, they checked it. He goes, they didn't take anything? I said, no. I said, he looked at it, stamped it, and left. And he goes, brother, you had a miracle. That never happens here. And so the Lord knew that the people of the Open Bible pastors needed these items, and they didn't take anything. Anything. And he was shocked that I even got that in. And so I praise the Lord for that. All right, next one, please. Okay, this is the room that I was in. And yes, I made up my bed, something I learned in the Army. I stayed at their house. I did get a chance to stay at their house. So this is the room that I was in. Okay, all right. Now, the pictures on the wall are all old. Frames are broken and cracked. And I said, well, why don't you just go buy new pictures? We don't do that here. They keep the pictures they've got because it's so hard to find things to decorate the house. I said, where do you go get furniture? Well, we don't. We pass it on to our kids. I mean, you know, if you look hard enough, you can find some pictures and some chairs and some of those things. But if you can find it, they can't afford it. So when somebody gets married, the members of the family donate furniture to them. And then it gets passed on from them to other people and passed on and passed on and passed on. Some of the furniture was, and you'll see the kitchen here in a minute. I mean, the stuff's from the 50s. When Fidel took over in January of 1950, I think it was, when he went in there, it's going to be their 60th or 70th anniversary coming up. Everything just froze in time, and you'll see that. Go ahead, Hannah. And so this is the other side of the room. Had my own private bathroom in there, and got my suits and stuff hanging up there as well. All right, there we go. Okay, here's another pastor and his wife. That is their church sanctuary, and you can see how narrow it is. It was a carport, and they converted it into the church, and their house is, I mean, you walk through the doorway and you're in their kitchen. It is that's how it is, okay? And just a great couple. These guys here, they are just poor. Just poor. And so when they got that bag of goodies and I gave them the money, again, you don't know. I mean, all of you that gave to any of this stuff, I wish you could have been with me, because it's just humbling how much they appreciate what they received. All right, go ahead, Anna. Okay, that's the church. And you can tell it's not very big. They got the fan up there. Remember, one of the things they need is fans, so I'll share that with you. And then where they're standing there is the doorway into the kitchen. Okay, Hannah, beautiful. Okay, so this is another church. I beg your pardon? Okay, this is another church on a Sunday, or Tuesday night, not Sunday, Tuesday night I went to. A little bit bigger. Much bigger congregation, you know, really great praise and worship, lively, so you can see the people there. All right, Hannah. And that is the platform that is there. Oh, they had bongos. Oh, man, I was like, Hello, Lucy. Hello, Ricky. And these guys could crank out the praise and worship. It was awesome. So that's the platform. Go ahead and go to the next one. Now we're standing up for praise and worship there in the congregation. So like I said, some congregations were 10, 15 people. Other ones would be, you know, 75, 80, 100. Pastor David's churches run 600. I'll show you photos of that in a minute. But this is, again, there's a little walkway, and then you're at the pastor's house. So again, the house thing, because that gives them a place to live and a place to have a church. Okay, go ahead. Okay, these are the guys here. This is their praise and worship team. There's the gentleman on the bongos. The guy in the blue shirt, that is the worship leader. Man, could he sing. I mean, and I did ask him. I got about 3 or 4 days in there. I go, is there anybody here in Cuba that can't play an instrument or sing? Because, I mean, these people are talented. And they can sing. They can play instruments. They can do all these things. And Pastor David's daughter, of course, they can all sing too. And she goes, well, do you sing? I go, no. She goes, not at all? I go, no. I put my name up to sing in the choir. They cross my name off. They go, no, you're not. And then they caught me. If you ever watch me just try to clap, okay, some of you are laughing because you've seen me try to clap up here. Molly told me last week, she goes, okay, look, you threw me off. You really got to stop this. Because I'm just up there kind of doing my own thing. So I got caught by Pastor David's worship leader just kind of doing this because that was the best that I could do. So, but these people, I mean, they don't have anything, but there is a joy of the Lord. There is a strength. There is something that God has done that even though they don't have stuff, they love the Lord. And they love being together. And I mean, this guy here could sing. He was phenomenal. So it was a great praise and worship. Like I said, a church over 100. What a blessing it was to be with them that night. All right, Hannah. Okay, so this is Pastor David's church here. This is across the street on the outside. And I got a couple more street shots. But as you can tell, very run down. I mean, the church, his church is fine, but the house next to it and the roads and the streets, you can tell. Very run down. All of Cuba is like this outside of Havana. New Havana is for the tourists, and I'll explain to that in just a moment. But this is outside of his church, another shot of his church there. Okay, so people wanted to ask about the cars. Are there old cars there? You better believe there is. Everywhere, thousands of them, 1940s, 1950s. And this is one that was just around by the church. And I thought I'd take a picture of it, and I got a few more. That is the gas station behind there. That is what they look like. Once Castro came into power, and because he made everybody promises, you know, everybody's going to get paid the same, everybody's going to have health care, education's going to be free, and all that kind of stuff. First thing he did, he took all the guns away. Again, I'm not being political. I'm telling you what they told me. He took all the guns away. Once he took all the guns away, it started in Havana. They went to every gas station, every business, everywhere, and said, this no longer belongs to you. It's property of the Cuban government. Thank you. Bye. Did not pay anybody anything. Just said, you're done. This is ours. Oh, you have two homes. Guess what? One now belongs to the government. And so that's what they did. And obviously, no one could stop it. And so that's why you see the condition of the gas station the way it is and the building behind that. I'll be showing you some walking up the street. Everything looks like that unless somebody somewhere gets enough money to paint something. Okay? Go ahead, Hannah. All right. Reason I took this picture is this. There are new cars there. The Cubans don't own them, but there are new cars there. Okay, they get gasoline from Venezuela. They get food from Mexico. They get cars and food and clothing from China and Russia. So it's not like they don't have anything. But what they have is very little. And if you don't have the money to buy it, it doesn't matter because you can't afford it. And the only Cubans that own cars, and there's businesses called particulars. And so if you're kind of an entrepreneurish Cuban kind of person, and you could kind of focus on one area, maybe clothing, maybe shampoos, maybe, you know, something. And what happens is these guys that run particular stores, and particular means like one or two items, that's particular, they're allowed to go to Mexico, they're allowed to go to Russia, they're allowed to go to China, purchase items, have them shipped back, pay the workers at the dock off so they can get them in, and then they're allowed to sell it, and then when they're out, they're allowed to go back, okay? So that's, so the particulars usually make enough money, you know, so that they can, you know, buy cars. But if you see a car, most of them are rentals, but the old cars are passed on to family members. So the old cars you're gonna see here in a minute, those belong to somebody's grandfather back in the 40s before the revolution. And that grandfather passed it on to his son, and then now that guy's gonna pass it on to his son. The same with their homes. They pass them on to their children. If somebody is single and doesn't have anybody to give the home to, the government takes the home. They own it. They own the hospitals, they own the universities, they own the doctor's offices, the pharmacies. They own everything, belongs to the government. All right, go ahead, Anna. This is a taxi, and he just pedals it. You go in there and pay him a couple of pesos, jump in it, and then he'll take you down the street. I did not see any Uber stickers, so I'm assuming there's no Ubers or Lyfts, you know. Do what? Oh yeah, there's no charge cards. There's no charge cards there for the average person. Okay, so this is a taxi. Okay, so here's some more cars. That's all right, you got it. Now behind, but on the other side of those cars is the square, and I have a few pictures of the square. So this is the downtown area that I was in. So we're walking along, and there are the cars. Again, wanting you guys to see the cars, and of course it was Palm Tree. It was 86 degrees there every day in sunshine. It was so difficult to be there. But like I told Donna, she says, why does God always send you places like this in the middle of winter? I go, who can argue with God? You know, you just gotta go. Go ahead, Hannah. Okay, this is a taxi. And it's a taxi. They load them up like in a cattle car. You pay your couple of pesos, and then you ride wherever they're gonna take you. And that is the taxi that is there. Again, look at the age of the vehicle. Go ahead, Hannah. All right, this is the square. The square actually was very nice. You know, it was clean. There are students and people who are sitting around there. If you buy a card with minutes on it, you can go to the square, and they have the Wi-Fi. You can hit a Wi-Fi. So you buy the card, and you go to the square, and then you type in the number for the card that you received, and then maybe you get an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours on the internet. And so you can sit there in the square and hit the internet until you run out of minutes on the card. And of course, there's the palm trees there. It was so depressing. So anyway, so there's the square. One of the things that I found out, and I think Don shared a little bit with some folks last week, was that Pastor David, they only get 30 hours a week on the internet, a month, excuse me, 30 hours a month on the internet. And if you go over that, then you got to come up with the money to pay for it. And since they don't have any money, they don't go over it. So 30 hours a month. Well, it would kill everybody here in the States. I mean, you know, that would be like, well, you can't get nothing done on 30 hours a month. So they'll pay for the money and go get the card and then go hit the internet. And you can see the guys sitting there as well. Go ahead, Hannah. All right. Okay, this is transportation. I mean, it is that poor. This isn't for tourists. This is this man's car. And there were many, many people, especially in the rural areas, that's their transportation. They hook up the horse, they hook up the buggy, and as you can tell, there's nobody with them. The other one I saw, they had a couple of milk containers on the back. She was taking milk somewhere. This is their car for him. And then there's the taxis, and like I said, in there. And so not uncommon. That's how they get around. And again, look at the buildings, dilapidated, no paint, nothing taken care of. It's the way it is. I'd ask them, how come you don't do this? They go, it's Cuba. It's Cuba. It's just the way it is here. It's Cuba. So, okay, whatever you say. All right, go ahead. Okay, so this is on a Wednesday night. Wednesday night and Thursday night, I spoke to Pastor David's leaders. And so this is the Wednesday night program here. And I shared and I did a series, and I've done that here, but I did a series. I felt led to do the one on the wilderness. You know, when you go through the wilderness, what God is trying to do, and it really ministered to the people, you know, that were there. The guy in the striped shirt is Pastor David's worship leader. He is a professional. He went to and studied at the Havana School of Arts for Music. And this kid can sing. Matter of fact, he is so good, he was selected to join a Christian group in Havana. They have a Christian group there that goes around, and he would have made like 450 CUCs, which is like 2,000 or 3,000 a month to join the group. But he chose not to. He felt like God wanted him to be the worship leader at Pastor David's church. But he does give, you know, music lessons and does things like that. So that's what he does. And him and Jaimelis, who is my interpreter, you'll see a picture of her in a minute. They are a team together, husband and wife, and great young couple. Oh, and he loved the Harley Davidson T-shirts I took, by the way. Yeah, I took a bunch of shirts took a bunch of Harley shirts, and I had one that had an eagle on it. And he kept looking at it, and I said, "Hey," and his name is Joel. I said, "Joel, when I leave, you want this shirt?" And he goes, "See, Harley Davidson." And so he got one of the Harley T-shirts and gave a bunch of those away. All right, go ahead. Okay, so this is outside the church. This is just an alleyway there. Their cars were the steel here, immediately on the right-hand side. That opens up, and that is where their cars, their buses, the church van is locked up in there. And then that's the church there across the street. But I wanted to give you a shot again. I mean, you know, run down, dilapidated, you know, that type of a thing. And that is what you saw, what we saw everywhere. Go ahead. All right, and this is another house church here. Again, was either a carport or a garage, and they convert them into churches, and then they try to fix them up, you know, as they can, and that kind of a thing. Go ahead. Okay, this is back to Pastor David's church again. They have the balcony up there, and of course, this is the next night that I was there in their other leadership meeting as well. And I took my book and, you know, did the 10 laws of rebuilding, you know, from ruins to rebuilding, and it just really, God just used it to minister to the people there. And then I left copies of it so that they could have copies to pass around, put in the library since it's in Spanish. All right, go ahead. Again, just another picture there. Go ahead. All right, so this I'm going to show you the first three Open Bible churches in Cuba. Open Bible next month celebrates 70 years of being in Cuba. And so Fidel came in 10 years later. He came in January. And so if you're 65 years old and younger, you do not remember freedom. You don't remember any of it. Know nothing about it. You have to be up in your, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s to remember what it was before, you know, he took over. So there are three churches here. These are the standalones. And so this here is an Open Bible church. This is the third one that was built. And we saw this church here, and then we went down to meet the pastor and his wife. Now, this town is on the ocean, and I'm telling you, you talk about crystal blue, beautiful water. It is just gorgeous, you know, setting in some of these places. You know, Cuba is a very beautiful place in spots, of course, like anywhere else. Go ahead. Again, just another picture of the church. Yep. And then, of course, this is the second one that was built. A little bit rougher shape, I'm saying. A little bit rougher shape. And the pastor of this one, he and his wife live behind this building. Go ahead. And another shot of that. Again, just had to get another shot of the suitcases in there. Go ahead. Yep. Okay, now this is another church that I was at. This must have been Friday night. I lost kind of track on how many churches that we went through in the morning and in the afternoon. Again, probably a church of over 100 people. I got to minister to the pastor. This sweet lady, though, and I had a picture of his wife, but it was so blurry, I didn't want to show it to you. But when we left, she made a cake for us. Just, had no frosting on it, just this cake. And it was delicious. We ate it, on the way back. They'll try to give you what they can. And I say that because if you go to the doctor, the dentist, though a lawyer, if you want them to spend a little bit extra time with you, you give them something. You take them some beans, some rice, some oil, a cake, or something like that. And so they knew we were coming, and she made a cake. And it was delicious. It was great. Go ahead. And then this is the other side of that. So that picture was, the platform was in the corner. That first picture was there and kind of going out the door. And then to my left is this picture here. And people came that night to praise, to worship, and to hear the word. And it was awesome. Go ahead. Okay, so this is a whole nother church. This is Saturday morning. Saturday morning, I spoke here, and then we went to two or three other churches. And then we went to Havana that afternoon. I'll show you the slide here in a minute. The girl right up front here, this is Jaimelis. Jaimelis is my interpreter. She's the one married to the guy in the striped shirt. And then the pastors are right there behind her, the pastor's wife, and then the pastors in the red shirt back there. Again, well over 100 people got up and was able to share the gospel, and meet them, give them money, give them the things that you guys had given me to give. I was able to bless them. Great praise and worship. Again, just musically talented. It's just awesome. Go ahead. Again, there's just another picture of them. All right, so now this is Havana. So there's New Havana, Old Havana. New Havana has spectacular restaurants, hotels, clean tourism. The tourists come from China, Mexico, Russia. They have a booming tourist business. America is the only ones that can't go there as tourists. I have to apply for a religious exemption for me to go. That was what my visa was. And so, but they have tourists coming in from everywhere. So this is, again, there's the ocean. This is going into Havana. Go ahead. These guys are sitting on the wall fishing. That is an old Spanish fort up in the background back there from the 14, 1500s. And the Cubans, finally rose up and ran them out and took over the country. But these guys are fishing. Go ahead. Again, this is just a square, and I took some shots. Again, modern lights, New Havana, things are painted. It's for the tourist. Go ahead. Again, just another shot of that. There's the fort in the back, all those things back in there. Go ahead. Okay, the cars. There are some more of the old cars, and you can see them all through there. There are thousands of them. Some of them are just beautiful, like these, And the Cubans, they're taxis. They use them as taxis. That's how they make their money. They've got these old cars. They advertise, take a ride in a 1954 Chevrolet convertible, and they'll come pick you up and give you a ride. There's several of the cars on the door, painted on the door. This is a 1958 Bel Air, and then it says, proudly made in the USA. So there's some more. So go ahead, Hannah. Okay, and so the dome at the top, that is their capital. And they wanted to make sure that I knew that their capital dome was higher than that of the people in America. So they were pretty proud of that. So that is the capital dome there. Go ahead. Again, this is where Congress meets. This is in downtown Havana. And again, you can tell how the people live and how the politicians are living. But everybody gets, it's all fair. Everybody gets the same. Right. All right, go ahead. Again, some more cars. We were driving by and I saw that car there. Again, but there is a new one next to it. And then you can see up along the top, again, people living there, areas get a little wore down, need some painting, but you'll find that throughout Cuba. Go ahead. Again, buses, here's brand new buses. Okay, now here is in Havana. There is there's like a square, and you can tell these are paintings, there is musicians, there are pictures, there is everything you can think of, and it goes on for probably a good 3/4 of a mile. And if you're a tourist, you just kind of start at one end, and you just walk down the center of this huge sidewalk there that is, and there's purses and just all kinds of stuff you can buy. And so this is an area for the tourist. Go ahead. Again, just another picture that I have there with the that is and cruise ships and stuff. If they're coming in from somewhere else, this is where they will dock. Go ahead. Again, there's the old car, another old car, couple of them there. I mean, that's some just beautiful. Some of the condition is just, and they can't get parts, so what do? They fabricate it. Oh, this broke, then they make it. I mean, these people are just, you know, they make it work. They're just phenomenal. Go ahead. All right, this is for the tourist, and this is, and I've got a couple of these. Basically, it's under a huge metal building, and you just walk through, and they've got leather goods, and they've got Cuban cigars, and they've got, clothes, and just touristy stuff. And so this is coming down into that area. Go ahead, Hannah. So this is a walkway down, and it goes on for yards, you know, and after a while, you know, it all repeats itself. You know, it's the same purse, same T-shirt, same everything. In there. So that's what that is there. Go ahead. Okay, and this is just a picture that I had taken just down one of the streets. And again, you can see the graffiti on the side, stuff needing painted. And this is just a few blocks away from the nice area stuff. And then if you walk far enough away, you will see then where things aren't as nice. So there are 8 places that are staged. You know, this is where the tourists go, and it's all staged. You get outside of that, you see what the real Cuban situation is there. Go ahead. This is a fountain in the square, several hundred years old. I kind of liked it, so I took a nice picture. And then, of course, everything down around, you can see that stuff is painted. It's all cleaned, again, for tourists. Go ahead. This is a gun museum, because they don't own guns. Don't know what guns are. Don't know what guns look like. Can't handle a gun, can't see a gun. So this is a gun museum. So if you want to see what guns were, you come to this museum. So these guns are on this side, and there's a whole other set of guns on the other side. Go ahead. Okay, see the black figure there? That is a guy dressed as a statue. And we're walking along, and then all of a sudden you start seeing this movement going on, and you're like, whoa! All right, and he looked like a statue, the way he painted himself and did everything. And again, for the tourist, you go drop some money in into his cup so he can make some money. Go ahead. Oh, yes. All right. Well, I wanted to get a good picture of this church, but you can see my strap was in the way. But this church is a Catholic church. Again, several hundred years old. Catholicism, obviously, is a very strong part of the of religion there in Cuba. But so are the Protestants. You know, I mean, they don't have anything against Christianity, as long as you don't go and start talking against the government. Go ahead. All right, these are cannons that have been unearthed, and they just had them all nice here in a nice row, and they're facing out towards the port there, so they would have been set up for when they would have been invaded by the Spaniards in different places, and so there are the cannons. Go ahead. And again, just a picture of this car. That was one of the last ones I took, just a nice car. And then there's an old car, and then compared to the new ones. Go ahead. All right, and this is the praise and worship service. And this is, I mean, it is just dynamic. I mean, they just do great praise, great worship. I wish I could understand more of it. The more I go, I start picking up a few more words here and there. But you can, even if you don't know what they're saying, you do know when the Holy Spirit is somewhere. And you know the Holy Spirit's there. It was wonderful. Go ahead. Okay, so this is Pastor David's church. I was able to speak there that morning. 3 people were led to the Lord that morning, so we praise the Lord for that. Again, this is his church, runs about 500-600 people. Go ahead. And then that's the upper balcony there of all the people that are there praising and worshiping the Lord. And again, just another shot, and that's Pastor David up there. He's not talking. I had finished speaking, and he gave the invitation for people to give their life to Christ. And like I said, there was like 3 people in the back lifted up their hands, and they had ushers that went back To lead them to the Lord, and then take them off and to talk with them about the Lord. So go ahead. Again, that's Pastor David there. This is, again, Joel, the singer. Is there kind of a little blurry there, but on the right-hand side, again, dynamic voice and singer. Go ahead. Again, this is Pastor David's home. So this is his living room. And they get 5 TV channels, by the way, all controlled by the government. Just want to let you to know that. 5 channels. So they have church almost every night because there's nothing else to do. And they want to do it. I mean, well, you know. I go, Pastor David, you have church on this night, and this night. And he goes, there's nothing to do. What should you do? You know, go ahead. Okay, this is their kitchen. I don't know how you grew up, but this looks like my grandma's kitchen. And so that's it. I mean, it is a time zone. Everything there is from the 50s, and that is where it still is. And you don't buy anything unless you absolutely need to have it. So that is Pastor David's kitchen. Rebecca, what a cook. Of course, beans and rice. I love beans and rice when we go to these different places. But I've never seen people make chicken and pork in so many different ways in my life. And I'm telling you what, I mean, it is really good. Go ahead. A little bit clearer picture of that one. And I took with me beef sticks, beef jerky, Cliff Bars, stuff that they've never had. Man alive, I mean, that beef, teriyaki beef jerky, it was gone. So I got a note. Next time I go to Cuba, beef jerky, you know, Cliff Bars. They loved them. They go, ooh, good. Bueno, bueno. Yeah, good. Go ahead, Hannah. That's it. That should be it. So anyway, so praise God. I thank you guys for all of your giving. And the money that I was giving, I gave to Pastor David, and he is going to take the rest of those items to the pastors that we didn't get to see. He's going to give each of them at least $20. The other money we left, though, is also they're having their, I told you, 70th anniversary conferences coming up, so he's going to use some of that money to feed those pastors and their wives coming in for the conference. Going to give some of them some bus money so they can get back. And so it's just neat to see, you know, what God does, you know, with the lives of these people. Now, a couple of quick things. We'll talk more about this later on. I've been after John Paul in India about building our fourth church in India. Well, because of the persecution, he has dragged his feet as far as giving us a yay or a nay. And so I talked to Ron Wilson, and Ron said, Burles, he'll talk about everything but that. So I said, well, Ron, what do you think? I said, should we raise up some money to help out maybe the Cuban church? And this is if you want to. You don't have to, because we know you got India with the orphanages. You got the girls' home, the boys' home. You've got the motorcycles in India. You've got, all the other missionaries that we have in Europe. And so this would only be as God would lay something on your heart. But there's only 4 things. When I went there, I asked Pastor David, what are the 4 things, top things that we can do to help you out here? He said, number one is that we need money for repairs of churches. And you saw the condition of the churches. And he says, if you could send us money to paint, to update, to put the fans in, to put roofs. He said, some of them have no roofs. And so he says, if you want to give money towards that, that would be number one. That would help the pastors out. He said, the second thing that you can do is we need Spanish Bibles. Now, the American Bible Society, believe it or not, is in Havana. So if he gets money, they can actually go to Havana and buy Bibles written in Spanish for adults and for children. And they could buy them right there. Then the only other 2 things they need, fans, and you saw the fans in the churches there, and they're in need. I mean, I was there, and honestly, they were wearing jackets because it's winter there. 86 degrees to me in sunshine. They're coming in with coats on. And the girl doing my interpreting, one day she's like this. I go, what's wrong? She goes, it's cold. It's winter here. It's 86. Well, they said, it'll come in the summer when it's 115, and then you'll see how you like it. So, oh, that's all right. I'm good. So they need fans, and then for food. You know, Pastor David, you know, I mean, God's been good to them, as you can tell. They're fine. They're getting taken care of. But he says what they do, they used to cook food. And then they're afraid if they cook something, gave it to somebody, they would get sick from it. So they stopped doing that. So what they do is they actually take the beans and the rice and the cooking oil, and they'll take it to somebody in need and say, this is from Open Bible. Here, you can eat. So those are the things. And again, just pray about it. If that's something that God lays on your heart, unless I hear something different from John Paul January, then we'll be pointing to helping out, you know, maybe the people in Cuba. I've been asked to come back. And so, as always, you know, now that I've been there, this is my first time. I wanted to go alone the first time because I wanted to see if it was dangerous or whatever. It is not. It is a great place. So when I go back, I'll let you know. If you want to come along, please feel free to do so. You know, and I've got a couple of other mission trips lined up also. So if it's something that God lays on your heart and you think, you know what, I want to go do that. I want to see what God's doing there. Please feel free to come with me. I'd be glad to have it. You going to go, Eric?
I was just saying, so then you can probably split up that suitcase.
Oh, you betcha I'm going to split up that suitcase. And then there was a tag on it, and it had a picture of a guy with a backache coming off it. Heavy, be careful lifting, you know. Huh? Oh, they've had the internet only and cell phones for the last 5 years. When Fidel passed away and Raul came in, he gave them the internet and cell phones. Now, all the cell phones are used. You know, Apple 5s, Apple 4s, you know, Galaxy, older Galaxies. But if I go back and I've got some smartphones, they will use the smartphones. As a matter of fact, in all the church services that we were at, always three or four people that videotaped everything we did. And then they would go back and take it to people who couldn't make it back in the service and show them what was going on. And so they do use them. Donna? Yep. It's called InStay. It is the Open Bible, kind of the church type of Bible college. It's called InStay. It's the one that you would have in your church as opposed to going to the university. So that night when I spoke to their Bible college students, those were InStay students, probably about 20 of them that were there. And I took them through the steps of what the call of ministry really is and what it means. So it's just basic 3-year Bible degree kind of a thing, but then they'll go take a church somewhere when they're finished with that, if that's what they want to do with it, and then that's how that works. Yep.
The government doesn't really have an official position about Christianity or churches there. They don't interfere.
They don't interfere as long as you don't start talking against the government. Matter of fact, when I was there was a new religion that they allowed in. It is from Africa. Everybody is dressed in pure white. I mean, everything, and with a white turban on. And so that is a new religion that the Cuban government has allowed in. But then, of course, Pastor David's like, you know, it's a cult. I mean, they got them doing weird things, and they're all dressed like this, but they're not interfering with it. So, yeah, so they don't interfere with it. Again, as long as you don't say anything about the government. And they told me when I went there, they said, there will be spies in the bigger meetings, because they're going to know you're from the States, so don't say anything about the government, or you'll get, you know, they'll just come up, take you off the platform, and escort you out. Now, you don't want to do that. Anything else? So, his mission trips. Did I? No. No, I did not ride in one of those. Well, I did when I was 3 years old. But it's kind of a vague memory right now at my age. Go ahead, Don. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, Pastor David, yeah, he is the president of Open Bible in Cuba. All right? And so he is the one that's in charge. He is the president. I heard a variety of different things, so I'm going to kind of round it a little bit. There is about 125 Open Bible churches in the country of Cuba, and there is about 200 and some Open Bible, licensed Open Bible pastors, ministers who are teaching or doing something there. So now when I go back, they want me to kind of leave the area that I was in and then go over to the east side of the country, and there is another concentration of Open Bible churches that are there that they want me to go to next time. So it is quite a But the joy of the Lord, I mean, these people have nothing, and they sing and they praise and they worship, and they just, you know, put me to shame, because it's like, wow, they have nothing, you know. And what was really hard for them, because they would ask me about the States, and we got to get going here, but they would ask me about America, about the stores. I said, yep, they really are full. And then as people have come and gone, you know, where they had a time where they could come to, like, Miami and see family and family, you know, they would come back and tell them, yeah, America really does have all that stuff, you know, that is there. But the hardest part for them, and you're going to recognize this, hardest part for them is this: we're only 90 miles away, and they can't leave. And that is difficult for them, because they know it's better here, but there's nothing that they can do about it. Oh, last thing, and we'll close in prayer. Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, there's an American base. Everybody obviously in Cuba knows that there's an American base in Guantanamo. They are not allowed to go into it. They're not allowed to go near it. It's not part of their lives. Guantanamo was established in 1902, is what they told me. And hold on, Eric. And then I said, okay, so if you, because they told me, you know, the government hates Americans. You know, I mean, they didn't hate, I mean, I didn't sense any of it, but, you know, I said, well, if you guys hate Americans so much, why don't they kick them out of Guantanamo? Quick, tell them, get out of our country. They go, oh, he said, United States pays rent. Mucho pesos. Go ahead, Eric. Yep, there are no there are absolutely no American restaurants anywhere on the island in Cuba. None. There is not a Wendy's, a Subway, a McDonald's. There is nothing, not allowed. Everything is Cuban. There is a McDonald's on in Guantanamo Bay, but they can only see the Golden Arches. They cannot go in there and get anything. They're not allowed to have anything. They can't kill cattle. That's saved for the tourist. So if you get caught killing a cow, even if you're the farmer, well, number one, if you're a farmer, you don't own your land, the government owns it. So you can't sell something along the side of the road, you'll get arrested. You can't kill a cow, you'll get arrested. You can have all the chicken you want, all the pork you want, but you can't kill a cow. So I took Pastor David and his family and the interpreters, and we all went out, and I said, I want to take you someplace nice. We went to a restaurant called the Black Rose in Havana. And so I'm kind of dropping a hint, like I'm opening up my menu, I go, oh, look. Filet mignon classico. I think that's what I'm going to get. What about you guys? Filet mignon, filet mignon, filet mignon. the guy in the striped shirt, the worship leader, had never had steak in his life. That was the first time. His wife ordered shrimp. I go, you don't want, Jasmela, you don't want steak? She goes, no, steak and shrimp. So he cut up part of his steak. She gave over the shrimp, so they had steak and shrimp. First time in his life he had ever had steak. He ate the, I mean, there was a big hunk of meat. It was gone. They go, hey, Joel, was it okay? Oh, bueno, bueno. All right. Anyway, would you please stand? We have to let you guys go. Thank you for your patience. Again, thank you.